welcome to Stressless Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. I'm your host, JJ Fredrickson.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Stressless Radio. As I said, I'm JJ, your host, and I want to tell you, last week, I was absolutely on fire. I cannot even tell you how much I got done last week, both with my coaching business, with my writing. Oh, I'm so excited. My stress equation booklet is done. It's a booklet, very small, it's going to be about 5,000 words, a little bit less than that. So it's small, but it's going to be available on Amazon and for really, really cheap. And just lots of work done, both at home, in my yard, and, you know, with my life coaching business. So anyway, I have a reason why I think I was able to get so much done. But I have to tell you that after the week, on Saturday, I absolutely crashed. Now, Friday, I physically started to crash. I was just starting to feel really exhausted on Friday because I just, you know, I was on fire all week. I was just doing so much. But on Saturday, I emotionally crashed. It was crazy. And I will get into why I think that happened a little bit. I'm going to also try to bring on an expert to see if I can explain it more. But let me tell you about the week before I tell you about the crash, okay? The reason I think that I had such an amazing week of work and feeling great was because I was practicing two things. I was practicing being present, and I was practicing positivity. If you remember last week, I talked about how a friend of mine on Facebook had put up a post about doing a 21-day complaining cleanse. And since then, her friends and she have also called it practicing positivity practice, I believe. A complaining cleanse, and there was another one too. Ooh, don't remember that one, but it doesn't matter. There is a website called acomplaintfreeworld.org that you can get tickers to keep track of your progress. They have bracelets to remind you, all sorts of stuff, trying to banish complaining, gossiping, any type of negative talk. And let me tell you, I'm a life coach, and it was really a challenge. I had to keep starting over, because that's the trick. If you make a mistake, you start over with day one. So I'm happy to report right now, I'm on day three full days without any negative talk or complaining. Yay! And that's my record so far. So I've been working on that. But the other part was practicing being present. So today, I wanted to take some time to practice getting a grip.
Get a grip.
On being present or being mindful or single-mindedness. There are so many ways of putting this. And the interesting thing is that in my research over the years, my studies, and my research more recently, this really seems to be an Eastern concept that's making its way into the West. The Western society was so focused on multitasking for so long, being able to do so many things. But what they found out is that multitasking causes stress. I'm going to get into that part of the discussion a little later. But so more and more Westerners are practicing this idea of really being present, staying in the moment. And I've done that here and there, especially with my meditation and yoga practice. Of course, that's part of it. But my goal last week was to really just practice it all of the time, to just go around all the time. And anytime I noticed that my mind was wandering, to bring it back into the present moment. So I've got an article here for you that I found on psychologytoday.com that gives some tips on that. And I'm going to chime in with my own tips, because like I said, I've practiced this for a long time, but not a constant stream of practice like I did last week. I don't know. It sounds so funny now. I mean, why wouldn't I have practiced it before? But oh well. So this is article again from psychologytoday.com. It's called 5 Steps for Being Present. And I love the author. The author is Michael J. Formica. And I don't have his credentials here right now, but he is some type of a yoga master. It's just not on this printout, but I will link to it as I always do in the resources section on stresslessradio.com. So you'll be able to read the article yourself. And this Michael J. Formica has written many other articles similar to this that are really fabulous. I really enjoyed them. So what he puts in this article, Five Steps for Being Present, is that contrary to popular belief, human beings cannot multitask. And you might be sitting at home saying, well, yeah, I do it all the time, right? But he says, no, what we are capable of, here's the distinction, is handling a number of serial tasks in rapid succession or mixing an automatic task with those that are not so automatic. So, you know, we get, I hate to say this, but we get fairly automatic with our driving. So when we're talking on the phone, talking is also very automatic. We're able to do those things sort of simultaneously. But we can't out and out multitask with things that require any thought, but we can do them rapidly in succession is what he's saying. Now, I also want to point out that we're not talking about texting and driving. I said talking and driving. So anyway, as a matter of fact, in this article, he cites that the NTSB reports that texting while driving actually is the equivalent of driving with a blood alcohol level 3 times the legal limit. So that's definitely a no-no. But he says again, you can't effectively attend to 2 things at once. So how do we stay present? That's the question, right? And some of these tips you might have heard of before, but I really want you to soak them in right now. Be present to what I'm saying and really soak them in. So he says that number one, take a breath, right? That's what we're always told, take a breath. Well, as I said, I've done that with my meditation practice and my yoga practices quite a bit, to actually take a breath and feel the air flowing in through your nostrils, where it touches in the back of your mouth, feel your lungs expanding. How does the air taste? How does it smell? Does it have any taste or smell? Maybe it doesn't. Just really being present to that breath coming in and then that breath going out. Now, I've always learned to do it through the nose, there are a few yoga things that I do that require, and meditation things that require going through the mouth. But otherwise, it's almost always through the nose. Now, this part I did not know. He says that breathing through the nose draws a relaxation response. I've heard that, but here's the part that's new to me. Breathing through the mouth triggers a subtle anxiety response, which increases the heart rate and redirects blood flow. Really? I mean, it makes sense, because really what that is panting. And, you know, you see animals do it when they're hot, obviously, to cool down, but they also will do it when they're really stressed. I know when my cat gets very stressed out when I'm taking him to the vet, he'll start to pant. And it's an anxiety response. So that makes absolute sense. So that's step one, take a breath. Step two, analyze what you're doing right now. Right now. Consider, as you're taking that breath, what you're doing right at that moment. Are you just reading? Are you just doing the dishes? Are you just recording Stressless Radio? Or is your mind off wandering on other things? Because that happens quite a bit, right? Our mind starts to wander. And it wanders and it dances through the past and it frolics in the future. And he says, the author of this article, Five Steps for Being Present, he calls it rehearsing. Whenever we're focusing on the past or the future, we're rehearsing. We're not really living in the real moment. And he says the past is problematic because it can't be changed. It's set in stone. It's immutable and immovable. Now, I love this distinction, being a life coach, because I've done this many times. We can change our relationship to the past, but we cannot change the past. So let it go. That's just ruminating. And I talk a lot about ruminating in my Stress Solution DVD. If you're interested in that, I will have a link to that in the resources page also. But the Stress Solution DVD, I go all into ruminating and some techniques that I use to get out of that rumination mode. And then Formica says that when we think about the future, that's also problematic because no matter how much we'd like to convince ourselves otherwise, we really can't control the future. We really can't control the direction things will go in because the universe, or God, however you think of it, has a way of deciding things. So I know that a lot of people like to worry about the future because it gives them a false sense of security about control. I have some people very close in my life who say that. And, you know, he says, no, you can't control it. And it's true. We can't. So one other way, step three, other than just asking ourselves what we're doing right now, step three removes us just a layer. And I love this. If you're a fan of Eckhart Tolle, you've heard this type of thing before. Be a witness. So you're not only asking, so what am I doing right now? And drawing your focus into one thing, but you're witnessing it. You're naming it. You're observing it. And you're doing it from almost a zoom out or a third person narrative. You're actually removing yourself from a situation. Very, very powerful technique. I love that technique. He says that removing yourself, becoming an actual witness to the moment, allows your mind to flow just like your breath. And if you're trying to remain consistently and constantly in the present, like I was doing last week, you must allow your mind to flow like the breath and not get mired in that present in the past or the future. And then step four, let the rest go. So whatever you're doing right now, witness it and let everything else go. Be there right now, right there, right then. That's all. And he talks about the concept of nirvana, which again, for us in the West, unless we're thinking of the, you know, former grunge band, nirvana seems like this big concept a lot of the time, or maybe that it's unattainable. But he says the concept of nirvana is often misconstrued as the experience of great peace and the attainment of bliss. That's the outcome of nirvana, he said. That's not nirvana. That's the outcome of nirvana. Nirvana itself translates to something more like no holding or no clinging. So you're letting the rest go. It's releasing everything, traveling lightly, and just being in the present moment. And then step number five, he might be a little bit of a cheat, but it's so important. Come back to the breath. Step number five, come back to the breath. Because what happens is by this time... this is what happens to me anyway. You know, what am I doing? Am I being single-minded? Am I focusing on one thing? Okay, now I'm taking that step back. I'm being a witness. I'm letting the rest go. And by this time, my mind might start to wander a little bit, right? So that's when you come back to the breath. Come again to the breath. Don't let the thoughts and feelings intrude. Just inhale and release and be very mindful of the breath. So that's his suggestions, five steps for being present. And like I said, I practiced a lot of those, but one thing he doesn't mention in this article, I think he might mention it in one of his other articles on psychologytoday.com. One thing that I do to help me stay in the present is I get in touch with my senses. Because your senses are present moment things. Yes, we have memories of what chocolate chip cookies smell like when they're baking, but our actual senses are right here, right now. So when I am practicing being present, I will actually stop and, you know, what is the smell I'm smelling? What do my clothes feel like on my body? Or what do my feet feel like on the ground? What am I hearing? What am I seeing? How many shades of green am I seeing in the leaves in the tree? I just get really, really in touch with my senses. And that brings me right back to the present immediately. In addition to these other steps that he's given, I think they're fabulous. And think about it. When you're in the present, there's no worrying. There's no regret. There's no anticipating. There's no ruminating. I mean, you really do have a lot more energy to spend on what you're doing in the moment. You're not wasting energy on things that don't apply to this very moment. It's awesome. And again, that's why I thought I had so much energy last week. And then, as I mentioned, it sort of came crashing down around me. So we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes right after this break. Stay tuned. Deadlines, bills, lists, budgets, sickness, divorce, clutter, debt, worry, stress. Why spend another day disconnected and stressed out? It's time to break out of those old patterns and start living life easy with the Live Life Easy Stress Solution. Improve communications and relationships, find focus, create confidence, and live with more passion, purpose, and fun. The Live Life Easy Stress Solution is an at-home study course on sale now at www.stresssolutiondvd.com. That's all one word, stresssolutiondvd.com. Are listening to the amazing Woman of Power Talk 24/7 Radio Network, powered by Raven International. This is Stressless Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. And I'm your host, JJ Fredrickson, and I'm here telling you about my amazing week I had last week, where I was just lighting up the world. I was getting so much work done. I was in a fabulous mood. And I did it by really being present to the moment and practicing positivity. Now, what was strange is after that amazing week, I did start to be physically fatigued on Friday, but then Saturday, I had this absolute emotional crash. And something my daughter said triggered it, but what she said was so minor. I mean, it was just nothing. It was nothing at all, nothing real unusual. And so I sat there and I said to myself, why on earth am I feeling, I was angry. This emotional crash involved anger. And I was so angry. And I said to my husband, I said, I am so sick of all the dependents in the household. I'm sick of the guinea pig. I'm sick of the cat, the dog, and I'm sick of our daughter. I was done. And again, no one had been any very demanding. There was no reason for it. So I had those feelings and I asked myself what was happening. And here's my theory. Now I'm going to get, I have a friend of mine who I'm going to get in to talk about this because I think she'll be able to help a little bit because I'm a little confused by it myself. So I want some answers. But the answer, the sort of intuitive answer I got was that these feelings that I had nothing to do with the present moment. That they were kind of trapped in my body from the past, and this was just the time they were releasing. And again, I don't quite get that, but I do have a friend. She's very intuitive. She does energy work. She does coaching. She's fabulous. And I'm going to ask her to be on the show to maybe explain this to me, and it might be able to help some of the listeners there too who've had those times when you're like, why am I feeling this way? And this feeling lasted that entire day. I mean, there was, you know, I did some of my techniques to get out of it, but it just felt like it really, really wasn't going to happen. I actually released it at night in a dream, which was kind of an interesting experience too, but I'll save that talk for when I've got my guest. But anyway, so I had this big, major crash. And so as I was online this week, what was really interesting is that I said, I was just angry with all the dependents in the household. And this article came across my computer, and this would sort of explain some of it. It's I'm referencing the article from the LA Times, and I will again link to it in the resources on stresslessradio.com. But really, this article, I found it linked to in many, 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 many different areas. It was just released last winter, this study. And the LA Times article is called Dads Are Doing More, But Moms Are More Stressed, Study Finds. Now, what they mean by dads are doing more is that they're doing more around the house. And the study was done by the American Sociological Review. And it was a two-year study of 500 middle-class dual-earner families. And they want you to be really cognizant that they understand this is a very small portion of the population. It wasn't, you know, a huge randomized study. It was on 500 middle-class dual earner families. And what it found was that moms are multitasking more. That's right. Moms are multitasking more, especially around the house. And this is where it sort of ties into that frustration I was feeling. Because when I am, well, I work from the home too, but when my daughter's home and the dog's awake, I'm often multitasking. Now, last week I was not. I was really focusing on being present. But, you know, I've spent the last 8 years since my daughter's been born really doing many, many things at once. Where my husband, he will be there in the living room with us with his headphones on his computer, and completely, I'm going to say oblivious, but I don't mean it even in a bad way, but he's completely focused on whatever he's doing on the computer. He is not actually engaged in what's going on around him. So I'm the one, as I always have been, you know, I was the one who nursed the child so that the pattern starts early. You know, I'm the one responding to the dog's needs, the cat's needs, the child's needs for the most part. And they're saying that is very, very common. The study showed that women were reported doing things, at least two things at once for 48 hours over the course of the week. Now, this is including while they're at work and while they're at home. While men reported doing two things at once 39 hours a week. So think about that for a moment. You know, the average work week is 40 hours. And so men reported doing a little less than the average work week where they were multitasking. Moms reported doing a little, you know, well, 8 hours more than the average work week. And here's how the study was actually conducted. The men and women involved in the study wore a watch on their wrist that beeped at 8 random times throughout the day. And each time it beeped, the people were asked to log whatever activity they were engaged in, how they were feeling, where they were, with whom they were with, and it also asked whether they were engaged in a simultaneous secondary activity, and if so, what it was. And the volunteers wore the watch for a week. So basically, again, it beeps and you write down what you're doing, what else you're doing, where you are, and with whom. And that's how they came up with this result, that women are multitasking on the average 9 hours a week more. Or I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, 9 hours a week more than the men are. But here's the really interesting part of the study. This showed, again, it's a study from the American Sociological Review. It was a 2-year study. It finds that men and women respond differently to the challenges of multitasking. Now, at work, both the men and the women responded that multitasking was stressful for them. But at home and in public places, the men said that multitasking tended to make them feel like super dad, that when they were juggling the kids at the playground and a client on their, you know, texting a client or sending an email, that they felt more empowered. When multitasking women reported that they felt more stressed, pressed for time, and actually felt guilty because they felt like they weren't spending quality time with their families. So isn't that interesting how we respond differently to that? How men responded differently than women? Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. Now, one of the things also that was shown in the study, and this is not a surprise, this is what I was alluding to earlier, is that multitasking by fathers was far less likely to involve childcare. Right? Like I said, my husband's able to get on his computer, put on his headphones, and work or enjoy reading blogs, whatever he's doing, he's able to do that. While I'm in charge of the kid, you know, and the pets in our household too. And so fathers are more likely than mothers to engage with their children in interactive activities. So for instance, last Sunday, you know, Saturday, I had my crash. On Sunday, my husband took my daughter out to eat and they had a really nice time together. But there he spent one-on-one time with her. He wasn't also cooking or ironing or sewing buttons or or doing anything else. Mothers, when they have childcare duties, they were actually more likely to take the kids along on errands, drive them to activities, or be helping them with homework. So it isn't just that, you know, one-on-one focused time. So I do want to report, though, that the study also showed that dads are helping out around the house a lot more. It's just they aren't doing this multitasking business. And because of the multitasking, women feel more stressed, even though they're getting more help. It's like a paradox that men are contributing more to the household and women are not any happier. They're still kind of stressed out. And this article talks a little bit about, you know, the demands of parenthood have just increased a lot more also. And that's a result of this. Kids have more homework at younger ages. There are more activities. I know I'm just shocked with my kid. You know, we have to plan play dates, and they're this big thing where we plan them. The kids just don't get together in the neighborhood. They're planned play dates. And, you know, that wasn't how it used to be. And I'm not saying one is better than the other, but one certainly involves the mom a lot more than the kids grabbing a stick and playing stickball. So there you have it. There's the situation in most middle-income, dual-income homes here in America. The women are feeling more stressed out because of multitasking. Now, again, I want to tie back into the beginning of the show, because that's what it's all about, is how do you help overcome that? By being present, by doing one thing at a time, by trying to keep your mind focused on just one task at a time. And hopefully for you, like it did for me last week, it'll actually help bring you a little more energy. And, you know, I was in a really good mood and things, I was in the flow. You know, that's what it was. I felt like I was in the flow with everything I was doing. And it was a great feeling. And you know what else is a great feeling? Having you join me every week on Stressless Radio. And I'm so excited to announce that through the month of June and July, I am not only going to be heard on Mondays here on the Amazing Woman of Power Talk 24/7 Radio Network. You can always hear me on Mondays at 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. And that's Central Standard Time. So what is that? That's noon and 6 on the East Coast. And on the West Coast, we're looking at 9 and 3. What conversions there? You might want to double check for yourself. But Mondays are, again, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. Central. And now on Wednesdays, I'm just thrilled to be joining the crew on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. So join me Mondays or Wednesdays. Tell your friends about it. If they can't catch me on Mondays, there's another opportunity on Wednesdays. And Wednesdays, it's really cool because I am following Keva, the Funky Mystic, with her Funky Mystic radio show. So she starts at 11 and I'm on at 11:30. And you don't want to miss her show either because she's just so much fun. She's fabulous. So that's it. That's about all I have for you today. I want to encourage you to stop by my main website, jjthelifecoach.com. I've got all kinds of tips, video blogs. I used to do a news segment for our NBC affiliate. I've got Ask the Expert tips, all kinds of stuff there on jjthelifecoach.com. Friend me on Facebook. Again, look up jjthelifecoach.com. Join in our conversation. Tell me how you're doing on that 21-day complaining cleanse. And then finally, you can find all the resources for this show on stresslessradio.com, because that's what you're listening to. You're listening to stresslessradio.com. We're here on the Amazing Woman of Power Talk 24/7 Radio Network, powered by Raven International. And we'll see you next week here on Mondays at the same time or starting on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. And remember, here on Stressless Radio, it's all about stressing less and living more. Hey, it's JJ Fredrickson, also known as JJ the Life Coach. That's right, when I'm not doing Stressless Radio, I'm working with clients all over the world as a life coach. And I'd love to invite you to visit my website at jjthelifecoach.com. There, I've got all kinds of free life coaching tips along with blogs, videos, and articles. So when you're not listening to me on the Amazing Woman of Power Network, I'd love to have you drop by and see me at www.jjthelifecoach.com.